In that case, let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we thank you for all of the laughter that we've had this week, but we also lift up all of the pain and heartache and just any brokenness that we've faced this week, that our family has faced, and we just give that to you, Father God. Right now, we just pray for healing for those who need it, for peace, for joy for those who need it. And as we dive into Ephesians chapter 4 today, we just start to see more of what unites us, Father, that we start to see more of what all of this, our life, is really about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week I started talking about how we're going to be looking at the prison letters, and this month we're going to be looking through Ephesians. Honestly, one of my favorite books personally, but that's beside the point. And we talked about literally tearing down the barriers between what Paul was talking about, Jew and Gentile, but really for us, between believer and non-believer, because in this area we have a lot, we have the blessing of being surrounded by Christians, surrounded by fellow brothers and sisters that are believers, but also we need to tear down those walls like Paul was talking about. And we're going to look today at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep in the unity, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fulfill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Excuse me, I'm having a head cold this week. So, really, let's just talk about the big picture right here, starting off with that. What I love is, again, my cheater's Bible here is what I like to call it. It has little sections really understand, like breaking down the scriptures and stuff. But right here, the subheading, or the heading of this chapter, unity in the body of Christ. I think this is something that we need to remind ourselves as we go through this troubling time in the world, in a nation divided, the trouble that we're having in our own denomination. I'm not going to talk about the specific politics or anything like that. Politics have no place in church, in my opinion. What we're talking about is what unites us, not what divides us. As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. This right here, verse 2, I feel personally attacked on that one. The reason is because I've talked about it with y'all. My biggest struggle is pride. And really what Paul is doing, not necessarily calling out, but bringing to light the issues that the Ephesians were facing. They were very divided in how the order of worship should be done, how the church itself should be structured. And they were really trying to figure out, how do we all come together? That's what Paul is focusing on in this letter, in this chapter. He wants to bring everyone together because we talked about how last week the walls have been torn down. Now we have to unite everyone. We have to unite everyone behind this one specific message. And like we've talked about before, how can we start to grow more until we see what we struggle with on our own. Amen? Because the only way to grow is seeing the ugly side. Seeing what we need to work on or what we struggle with. So that's why Paul's starting out with this. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope when you are called. To me, that's so plain as day. Forget about all of these trivial things. Forget about all of these disagreements. Focus on what you were called from the beginning. Focus on the one body, the one Spirit. We have a bird out there praising Jesus out there, it sounds like. Yeah, that's right. He's just feeling the Lord over there. He's going all Pentecostal on me over here. But Paul is talking about, we have to remember that Jesus is one body, one Spirit. Because the doctrine of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, three in one, was really starting to be developed at this point. And there was a lot of confusion. Paul was also facing the Gnostics. Well, how they were talking about Jesus was more of an illuminator. He didn't physically rise. He rose in our hearts. And there was a great secret. So it was creating division. But what Paul is trying to get at is we are all united in one thing, and that is Jesus Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This authority is just reminding us of the power of God. In all of these disagreements, God is always present. Even when words of hate, words of hurt are thrown around, God is still there. So we have to struggle to see where God is in all of these disagreements. It's hard to see God in disagreements. Amen? It's hard to see Him when we are trying to figure out what is the right path. But really, the right path, regardless of doctrine, of denominations, the right path is focusing on Jesus. Focusing on His sacrifice, on His relationship with us. Because that's what this is all about. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when He ascended on high, He led captives in His train and gave gifts to men. Again, just pointing to the fact that Christ reigns over it all. That He reigns supreme over all hate, anger, disagreements, anything. What does he ascended mean except that He also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Now what this is talking about, this always confused me when I was younger. In the Gospels, there are some saying, instead, while Jesus was in the 3 days that He was dead, before He rose again, He went into hell, that He went below to where Satan is and saved those who were there, who didn't have the chance to know that. That's what it's referencing right here. Because again, Paul is trying to show through the power of Jesus Christ, everything works out, if that makes sense. What he's trying to show is that Jesus has the power, first of all, over death, but then He has power over everything. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Right here, this is the most important part. because this is something that we really dive into, what's called vocational calling. Some are meant to be apostles, the ones who saw Jesus, the ones who were starting from the beginning to spread his message. Some were meant to be prophets, simply saying God's word, simply saying God's will, giving the will to God's people. Some to be evangelists, just to spread the word. And some to be pastors or teachers, simply teach the word. Now you're probably thinking, why are we going over every single thing? I already know what this is talking about. I already know what these words mean. The reason is because Paul is saying we all have different purposes, but one common goal. Maggie, I'm going to use you for a second. Being a nurse, your purpose of being a nurse, how you've taken care of probably everyone in this congregation here, amen? Something like that. For me, my purpose, I thought, was to be a teacher in a school setting. I can't do that. Classroom setting, that is not for me. But the reason is, everyone has a specific purpose to fulfill the greater goal. So simply, it goes both ways. For example, from this congregation to me, and me to this congregation. I understand because I'm younger. Y'all have experienced life more. You have taught me so many things while being here at this church. And then I bring maybe different perspectives on the word. We trade those different perspectives. Sometimes we might disagree, but that's okay because we are all united in Jesus. So then, when we talk about being that light of the world, like it says on that sign out there, using those lightsabers, phenomenal reference to Star Wars, by the way. I love that. We talk about having those lightsabers. We have to first know what our specific calling and purpose is before we can go to the greater goal, before we can fulfill that greater goal. It's like the saying, how can you help someone before you help yourself? How can you pour into someone the love of Jesus? Or just love in general, pour and invest in them without focusing on yourself first. It's funny because when you go, I've seen this a lot with teachers, all my friends at university. They were just being teachers for the heck of it, and they would get burned out so fast. I think lasted maybe 3 or 4 years. Because they would go, oh, we get summers off. That's the main reason. They would get burned out, and they didn't know their true purpose. So they couldn't pour into those kids. So then I ask you, we already know this goal of being united in Christ, of breaking down those walls and showing everyone the love, but what specifically is your purpose at this point in your life? Because I'll tell you right now, I can tell you all what the Bible says, the Word of God, but I can't tell you what your specific purpose is. That's between you and God. My specific purpose, still figuring that out, pastoring and teaching, that's between me and God, figuring that out. Now we can have others that speak into our lives, that see the gifts that God has given us. But at the end of the day, that purpose is between you and God. For example, the way that y'all have poured into me here, starting to learn more of what my gifts are and what I struggle with, aka organization. Maggie, you know that. But we're all united in building each other up. Amen. We are all united in spreading the love of God outside these doors and inside these doors. And that's the message that Paul is trying to pass along. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is something that we have to continuously work for. I know for myself, today I'm probably talking about me a lot. I try not to do that in sermons too much. But I know for myself, because I'm trying to remember where I am in this message, reaching unity and in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, become mature, attaining to the measure of the fullness of Christ. That's the main goal, but it is also, I think, one of the hardest goals. Why is that? Because every single person in this room is different. Every single person outside of these doors are different. Now, you're probably thinking, this is a very basic sentence. This is a basic thing that you learn in elementary school. Learning how to respect one another. Oh, yeah, we're all different, but it's okay. But no, this is the key to understanding how to show the love of Jesus Christ to somebody. Understanding that we all have different opinions, beliefs. Even if we have the main goal, the main belief in Jesus, we have different beliefs on the smaller things. And friends, that is okay. The reason, when it's talking about the becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, is because being truly mature is not trying to get someone to conform to your beliefs, but understanding their own beliefs. Understanding they might have different beliefs than you. But to really be unified, we have to acknowledge the differences. And we have to celebrate those. It's like, for example, I remember in my interview at Chick-fil-A, they asked, how do you talk to a, let's just say, not fun customer? You've messed up the order. And any conflict resolution, you start by acknowledging what they are saying. Acknowledging how they are feeling. What they believe in that very moment. If you maybe did not put enough chicken nuggets on that order, or put too many. By acknowledging what they are saying, it gives them value. Without even them realizing that, it gives value to the person that they need, whether they know it or not. Jesus did this in his ministry all the time. When discussing with the Pharisees, he was being an active listener. The key to active listening, you know, doing the, yeah, yeah, totally, I'm totally following you, yeah. But through all those things and through all the division, through all the differences, even when we know we have, we still remember one thing. Jesus loves us. And Jesus loves everyone. In and outside these doors. So then, I ask again. How can we, it's now moving from individually being a light to one person, go as a congregation, as a whole church, how can we be united in loving someone? What are things that we can look past to truly be united, to truly be mature and attain the full measure of Christ and receive who he truly is. How can we do that? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.